Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he be thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The words of Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. The doctrine of hell is always getting brushed under the carpet. No one really wants to think about it, let alone talk about it, because it's just too unpleasant. We love to talk about heaven and going to heaven and what our life in heaven is going to be all about and what it's going to be like. And we look forward to the day when we go to heaven. But the thought that there is such a place as hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, is so repulsive that we either try to deny that it exists or deny that anyone actually goes there, except for maybe Adolf Hitler, Osama bin Laden, and a few others who are really, really, really bad people. The only problem with all of that is that Jesus sure does believe that there is such a thing as hell, and that it is really that terrible that it is better for you to cut off whatever causes you to sin than to be thrown into it. And it is neither safe nor wise that we should ever believe differently than Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. As long as we live in this world, we live between the two realities of heaven and hell. And our time in this world is temporary. It may only last a few hours. It may only last a few days, a few years. It may last 100 years. But then after our life in this world ends, we will then live forever, either in heaven or in hell, even if we were to live to the ripe old age of 100. Our life in this world is nothing but the most minuscule, finest point, dot, on a line that goes on forever and ever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. The idea here is not that Jesus is trying to scare us out of hell and into heaven. Through his word and promise given to you in your baptism, Jesus has already opened the kingdom of heaven to you. He has already marked you as one who belongs to him. He has already gone ahead and prepared a room in his Father's house for you to live in forever and ever and ever. Receive the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, that marks you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And even though we are still in this world, we are already in heaven. We live simultaneously here and there, and there is here, here is there. Our life in this world and in heaven are not quite so far apart from each other as we think that they are. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing and we're going to eat with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. We either get to heaven in a few minutes or heaven gets here in a few minutes. It's that close. And all of this is not because you are so good and so faithful, and you never sin. But because Jesus is so good and so faithful, and he has atoned for all of your sins by his sinless body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, take and eat, take and drink. But we would be naive if we thought that there were not forces at work in this world that would like to see us forsake our baptism and the promise and the word that God put on us and forfeit our place in heaven for a place in hell. Fix your eyes on things below and not above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because they will last forever, and rust will never destroy them, and thieves will never break in and steal them, and you can take it all with you when you die. Actually, the way Jesus puts it here, those forces are not only at work in this world, but they are also at work in you. He's talking about your hands and your feet and your eyes. And it is your sinful heart that tells your hands to do what they ought not do and not to do what they should. And it is your sinful nature that tells your feet to go where they should not go and not to go where they should go. And it is your sinful mind that tells your eyes to look at what they should not look at and to not see what should be seen. The forces of the evil that are in the world and in our own bodies want to cut us off from heaven. Because in heaven, there is no sin. All of your sin and all of the temptations to sin are cut off from you in heaven as far as the east is from the west. Gone. Everything, everyone is sinless, and everything and everyone is very good, just as it was in the beginning before sin ever entered into the world. Adam and Eve let their feet walk them to the one tree in the garden that God said, do not eat from. Their eyes saw that the fruit was good for food and desirable for making one wise. Their hands reached out, grabbed hold of the apple or whatever the fruit was and plucked it. And from the tree, they brought it to their mouth and they ate. Only they had cut off their feet and their hands and plucked out their eyes. It would have been better for you. So Jesus is issuing some pretty serious warning here. This is serious stuff this morning. The consequences of sin are real. This is not a game that we're playing here. Jesus is taking your sin seriously. So seriously that we should take it just as seriously too, because it is neither safe nor wise to take lightly what Jesus takes seriously. We cannot continue to live in sin and to live in Christ. Sin will take you to hell, where the worm does not turn and the fire is not quenched. And Christ will take you to heaven, where the joy does not die and the spirit is not quenched. And the one is so bad and the other is so good that it is better for you to enter life with one hand and one foot and one eye than to be thrown into hell with it all. And besides that, who's to say that we've lost what we lose forever? What we lose, what we cut off here in this life, will be restored to us in heaven. Bodies will be raised from the ground, and united to pure and sinless souls and hands will take hold of the eternal life and never let it go. And feet will walk in the paths of righteousness and never go astray. And eyes will behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ forever and ever. This is a good gospel for us to hear this morning and to take to heart, because we do tend to take sin lightly and minimize the danger that confronts us both from within and from without. This is certainly not something that Jesus took lightly or minimized. He gave his hands and his feet over to the nails, and he closed his eyes in death for you. Thomas Kelly put it like this in the hymn that we just sang. You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Truly, it is better for you that Jesus had a great millstone of wood hung around his neck than that he would save his own neck and his little ones who believe in him be thrown into hell. What good would it be for Jesus to enter into heaven with two unpierced hands, but not you, his little ones? What good would it be for Jesus to enter into heaven with two unpierced feet, but not you, his beloved child? What good would it be for Jesus to enter into heaven with two good eyes and not see you sitting at his banquet table with all of the angels and the archangels and the company of heaven? Here we have a firm foundation. Here the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, is the name in which we boast. Lamb of God, for sinners wounded, sacrificed to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built. Amen.